Hear these words from Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others, Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it." The word of God for the people of God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. David Lowes is one of my favorite commentators, and in his commentary this week on this passage, he asks three questions. So I want to share them with you, and I want you to be thinking about them. The first is, what gives you the greatest joy in life? What creates for you the deepest sense of purpose? And third, when do you feel most alive, most true to the person you believe God created you to be? So what gives you the greatest joy in life? What gives you the greatest sense of purpose? And what is it you do that when you do it, you feel most closely to the person God intended you to be? That's in my English. Chapter 8 of Mark could be subtitled, "Do You Still Not Understand?" Or, "Can't You See?" Just prior to this passage, I'm going to put this passage in its context. And I'm going to start back at the beginning of chapter 8. At the beginning of chapter 8, we have the feeding of the 4,000, where Jesus takes 7 loaves of bread, feeds 4,000 people. The disciples collect 7 basketfuls of crumbs. And then they get in the boat and they go back across the lake, a lot of back and forth across the lake and traveling around in chapter 8. They go back across the lake, and while they're going across the lake, the disciples realize that they don't have any bread. They forgot to bring some bread with them. But while they're thinking about the fact that they don't have anything to eat, Jesus is teaching them to beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the yeast of Herod. And so they're thinking, he's talking about them not having any bread. And he's like, "Oh, guys, you've got eyes, but you still can't see. You've got ears, and you still can't hear." So then they go to this village of Bethsaida, and some people bring to them a blind man for him to heal. And so he takes the man by the hand, and he leads him out of the village. And this is an interesting healing story. In the New Revised Standard Version, it's nicer sounding than in the Common English Bible. I'll share my Common English Bible translation with you in a minute. In the New Revised Standard Version, The translation they use is saliva. That Jesus takes, you know this story, you know what's coming up. Yeah. Jesus takes saliva and puts it on the man's eyes. Now, my common English Bible says that he spit in his eyes, which is actually a little bit closer to the Greek. And then he asks the man, "Can you see?" And the man says, "I see people, but they look like trees, and they're walking around." So Jesus puts his hands on him, on his eyes, and he's healed. This is the only healing story where it appears to take two attempts for Jesus to heal someone. It's a little peculiar. But put it in the context. What has Jesus just said to his disciples? Can't you see? And then what happens immediately after this healing passage? The passage that I just read, where Peter still can't see. Jesus has to give him another touch to get it. So we've got a healing story right before this passage where we can understand the meaning of seeing in a couple of different ways. We can see it in terms of physical vision, and we can see it in a deeper way with inner perception or understanding. Who is Jesus? So Jesus goes on. Once Peter says he's the Messiah. So I want to tell you a little bit about the term Messiah. It's a Hebrew word that means the anointed one, literally the anointed one. The Greek for Messiah is Christos, from which we get our word Christ. And sure, kings and priests were anointed, but the Messiah was the anointed one of God. And the Messiah was the one the Jews believed were coming to consummate the age, to restore the throne of David. They understood the Messiah to be a military king who would come with great force, great power, great might, and overthrow the oppressive forces at that time from Rome. But what does Jesus tell him that the Messiah is going to do? Suffer, be rejected by the religious leaders, be killed, and then rise on the third day. Something they still wouldn't understand for a little while longer. Not what they wanted to hear. Not what they were expecting to hear. And then Jesus goes on. You know, it's kind of an interesting thing. This passage is kind of the heart. I would consider it the heart of the Gospel of Mark. We hear in just a few number of verses who Jesus is. He predicts his passion for the first time. He predicts it two more times, once in chapter 9 and then again in chapter 10. And this is the section on discipleship. And then he defines who we are as followers of Christ and what we are to do as followers of Christ. Deny ourselves, take up the cross, and follow him. I'm going to start with denying ourselves. And I agree with David Lowe's in his commentary. His blog is inthemeantime.org. You can look it up. It's a good commentary this week, and I like his stuff. I agree with him when he says that we approach denying ourselves with the same mindset that we approach Weight Watchers. That somehow, you know, we're doing without sweet calories, right? That's how we're denying ourselves. And I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about here at all. It's a different mindset. It's not a Weight Watcher mindset. He's simply stating the obvious, that when we deny ourselves, when we're denying ourselves, we're focusing on others. We are simply being open to helping others, loving God, loving our neighbors, when we deny ourselves. And taking up our cross. You know, the cross is an interesting symbol for our faith. The cross, the cross was an instrument of torture and execution. And here it is, the symbol of our faith. Sometimes I think it would be an awesome thing to do, to have a cross for each person. And as you leave the sanctuary, that, you know, you would take your cross as you go out to follow Christ in the world. Wouldn't that be cool? Have a wall of crosses, one for everybody to take one. So I want to get back to those three questions. What gives you the greatest joy in life? What gives you the greatest sense of purpose? And what is it you do that when you do it, you feel the closest to God and what God intended you to be? Because I bet that your answers have something to do with somebody you love. They don't have to do with yourself. They have to do with a family member, friends, serving others in the world. They don't have to do with yourself at all. And that's what Christ came for, folks. You know, so that we would have life abundant. And it's not Weight Watchers life. It's abundant life. Not cutting back, but doing more. Experiencing more. Having more joy and love. Because that's what life is about. The more you give it away, the more you experience it. Denying self, taking up your cross, following Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious Holy God, Lord, we thank you for the example of your life and teaching, and we thank you especially for grace that we have through our faith in you. Lord, watch over us and strengthen us. Help us to be the disciples you intend for us to be. Lord, we know that as we decrease, you increase. And gracious God, help us to give you space in our hearts and in our lives so that you may work through us to bless others in incredible, amazing ways. These things we ask in the powerful name of Christ. Amen.